Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello, and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. We are here this morning, bright and early. I'm with Becky and Bree. Kate was going to be with us, but she was way too ambitious because she's had a newborn baby and it's 5:30 in the morning. So she's not here at the moment, but she might pop on at some point. Who knows? Who knows what will happen when you've just had a baby? How are you guys this morning?
Good. Did you say you got your coffee?
Yeah. I have no coffee yet.
No, me either. I don't have water yet. Belle was up last night. She is not a newborn, but she is acting like she is. Mm-hmm. And hour and time got away from me. So I'm here with wet hair and no coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't had anything to drink yet either. I've just been sitting here working on this. And I'm like, wait a minute. What time did you guys get up? Just out of curiosity.
My first alarm went off at 4:45, but I didn't actually get up until a little bit before 5.
Yeah. I didn't set an alarm, but I got up at 4. That's just like a normal time that Jared gets up a lot. So I feel like my body wakes up at 4 naturally. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I go back to sleep. And other times I'm like, well, I have something to do. I'll just get up. So
you're really brave to not set an alarm. I would have been panicked all night going, I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it.
Well, it's very convenient because I have Jared and he knew we were podcasting. So if I so happened to have a weird morning where I slept in, he would have woken me up and been like, aren't you podcasting?
He's your alarm clock.
He is. Okay, let's go ahead and jump right in. I have a little bit of an intro I'm going to read for our episode, and then we will get started on what we want to talk about today. So the Church of Corinth is the legendary messed up church of the Bible. It's the one where there's divisions and rivalries, confusions about gender roles, sexual immorality. This is the one where the son was sleeping with the mother-in-law. Like the legendary, this is a really unhealthy church situation. So Paul, he's writing to them and he has every opportunity at the beginning of his letter to just go ahead and tear into them. Like, go ahead, let's get to business. You guys are super messed up and I need to tell you about it. Oh, and he also knew that they were talking trash about him. This is something interesting that Jared pointed out to me, that in 2 Corinthians, they said, his words are weighty and forceful, but in person, he's frail and amounts to nothing. So he also knew that they were talking trash. And still, he begins his letter to them like this. To God's church at Corinth. To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus and called the saints, with all those in every place who call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of God's grace given to you in Christ Jesus, that by him you were enriched in everything, in all speech and all knowledge. In this way, the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. You are called by him into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I think that's amazing, because he could have started it out like, you crazy, filthy people. Like, what is happening over there? This is insane. He chose, though, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, to recognize the good. And yes, they were messed up. But first, they're brothers and sisters in Christ, even if his weighty words, they were also weighty and crafted to build up. Mm-hmm. He was calling out their sin, but he was also building. It wasn't just a tearing down throughout the book of Corinthians, but he started with building. And isn't this the way that God deals with us? Have you ever felt the sting and recognition of conviction? I did, even as preparing this episode about encouragement and discouragement and the way our words work in that, I felt that conviction. But how sweet it is that after that sting of conviction, there's always the joy and excitement and realization that, like, God, you're working in me. I'm your daughter and you're not going to leave me as I am. And so even in the way God works in us, there's the sting of conviction and the weight of that, but then a instant joy and encouragement. Mm-hmm. That's how we should be dealing with our family, with our friends, with our brothers and sisters around us, bringing encouragement and spurring them on in the faith. So today we are going to talk about being an encouragement versus being a discouragement to people, recognizing the positive versus being critical of everyone around you. My mother-in-law gave a talk at her church maybe a month ago, and I didn't get to go because we were going to be gone, but she gave me like a little overview one day when she was at our house and the highlights of what she was going to talk about. And she referenced this book that she read whenever she was really young, and she was saying that it gave the illustration of, are you a balcony person or a basement person? Meaning, are you a cheerleader for people? Like, are you a person that is spurring other people on? You're seeing the good. You're encouraging them in their life and their walk with Christ and their duties and the things that they have in their life. Or are you a basement person? Someone that's always noticing the thing that could be better. Mm-hmm. Or always noticing the thing that is flawed and that you could be critical about. And I thought that was a great illustration. And it has came up in my mind a lot of like, nope, be a balcony person, be a balcony person. Like, don't choose to be critical, but instead choose to spur people on, choose to see the good. So that's a little intro on what we are talking about today. And just, I think that this is a really important topic because, I don't know, maybe you're a person that is really knowledgeable about homeschooling or really good at keeping home, or maybe you're really knowledgeable about theology and God has really gifted you in that way. You can either use those things to be an encouragement and edify the people around you and build them up in that also, or you can choose to let yourself create this purity spiral where if anybody isn't as qualified as you are in that, they're not doing it right. And that can be really discouraging and really beat people down that are around you. So what do you guys have to say about encouragement?
I was just this morning thinking about what encouragement means. Anytime we like pick a word to talk about or like a topic, I try to think of the actual meaning of that word, mainly because we live in a world that really has warped the meanings of a lot of words. Mm-hmm. And I can do that now because my computer's in front of me. I didn't actually look up a definition because, again, sometimes you just look up a definition on Google and you're just going to get the modern definition. A lot of times you have to dig a little bit deeper. And so if I look it up on Google, it says, give support, confidence, or hope to someone. Mm-hmm. But I asked my husband this morning, while we were getting ready, what he thought about encouragement. And I said, what would you say true encouragement is? He said, the courage, giving someone the courage to press on, encouraging them. And I think sometimes we forget, like, courage is in the word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we just think, especially as women, that's what I told him. I said, that's great. I wonder if men more so think of that than women, because I think women think more of, like, emotional support. You know, they think encouragement. Mm-hmm. And it can be emotional support for sure. But when you're encouraging someone, you might be giving them the courage they don't have in that moment or mm-hmm. of where they get their courage from, which as Christians, we know that's from God. Or sometimes we don't even have the courage ourselves, but because we're Christians, we have the source of the courage, mm-hmm. the courage them. And I think it's good that you read Corinthians at the beginning because Paul didn't come in guns a-blazing, but he obviously very eloquently and he was very balanced in the way that he encouraged them. He told them the good and he focused on the good, which I think is true discernment. True discernment focuses on the true, the good, the beautiful, not the negative, the bad. And even maybe the bad might be true, but what is actually true as far as like what they should be doing? You're focusing on the true, the good, the beautiful. You're focusing on what they should be doing. Paul did that and he still corrected them. And that was still encouragement because sometimes you need correction in order to move on in your courage. Mm-hmm. But he also loved it. It was a place of love. And I think that it really comes down to that, to your heart, is when you're encouraging someone,
Is it coming from a place of love? Because if it's coming from a place of hate or fear, then you're not going to be able to encourage other people because you're going to be worried about the outcome rather than trusting in the Lord, which is very fitting for this podcast because it's Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Where we should fearlessly encourage others in a way that doesn't worry about, you know, I think you can fall into pride where you don't want to encourage people because maybe they'll end up being better than you or maybe show you up. Or like you said, Jordan, you just think you're high and mighty and encouragement is hard to give then. Or it can come from a place of fear and not being fearless where you don't have the courage yourself. And so how are you going to encourage someone else, you know?
I think whenever I added this one to the list a while back, I think I put fearlessly encouraging others. And I didn't even make the connection with courage being encouragement. So that's a really, really cool thought. I love it that you brought that up. But yeah, it totally is making sure that the people around you have the courage to press on. Because life is hard. Life gets hard. Sometimes life is beautiful and just dreamy. And other times life is really hard. And we need our brothers and sisters in Christ to come alongside us and give us the courage to press on. Be like, hey, I can see that things are heavy with you right now. Let me help you. Let me encourage you in Christ. It has to be encouragement in the Lord, not just encouragement that is flowery and beautiful and makes them feel better for a moment, but encouragement that is set in the Lord, that you are not alone in this trial or you are not alone in this season, but God is with you and that you can have the courage to press forward. So I think that's really cool.
So when, excuse my morning voice, I feel like it still hasn't, it still hasn't woken up yet, but when you pitched this idea for me, when I thought of encouragement, I thought of the season I'm coming out, not really coming out of, but still in, where I lost a baby. Gosh, it's been almost 2 months now, I think. Yeah, it's been 2 months now. But the encouragement I received and am receiving in that season and in this season is where my mind went first. When you said encouragement, it wasn't, and yes, we can be encouraging with people, spurring them on in their skills, spurring them on in the good work that God has set before them. But Bree, when you were talking about just giving them the courage to press on, it reminded me of when we had just found, no, I think I had just had surgery. I think the days are kind of blurry in my head still, but a friend came over, she brought dinner and she held me and I just sobbed. And I told her, I was like, this doesn't feel good. Like, this doesn't feel good right now. And she said, but God is still good. Mm-hmm. And she just cried with me and just reminded me of who God is. And there were so many other things she said, but it was just those simple truths that when you're in the pit, you can't remember. Mm-hmm. And I knew somewhere in the back of my head, you know, that God was still good. But nothing was good about my days then. Nothing was good when you lose a baby, you know? But having a friend come over and just say, God is still good. It's going to be okay because one day you're going to see him again. You're going to hold him again. He's with your daughter, you know? Like all of these truths that I had lost in the fog and in the blur, she was reminding me of, and I needed that. I needed that courage to press on because there's that part of you. When you lose a baby, you just, or lose somebody close to you, or you're walking through grief or depression, there's just this part of you that's like, I'm done. I don't want to go on. I don't want to keep going. I'm ready to be home. And this isn't home. Nothing's good here, which isn't true. There are good things in this world, but when you're so clouded with that, it's hard to see. And having somebody come alongside you, having friends come alongside you and say, hey, remember the hope we have in Christ. Remember that God is still good. Remember that he's still on his throne. Remember that he hasn't forgotten you. I remember last year, we were on our way to find out if I had cancer or not. And Ransom sent me a Voxer of Psalm 23. Mm-hmm. And that still sticks with me. That little voice saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And what a sweet and powerful encouragement that was of, he is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He is with me. Even if I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, whether that be the death of a child or the death of myself, whether I'm in that, whatever valley I'm in, he is with me. I'm not alone. But that was the first time even that Psalm 23 really meant anything to me. Growing up, you know, you hear it a lot in church and you read it on, you know, coffee cups and shirts and things like that. But that was the first time that that psalm actually meant something, was when that little voice came across my Voxer in a season where I was like, I might have cancer. And it was such an encouragement to me. The verse that came into my mind this morning as I was getting things ready was Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And if you are in a season that's hard, don't pull back from community. That's what I do. I tend to just recluse, and I'm thankful for Jordan, who's that friend who's like, hey, how are you? Hey, I'm here. What you doing? How are you doing? You know, let's go for a walk. Let's get outside. Do you want to talk about stuff? Do you want to not talk about stuff? And I need friends like that. And I think we all do, who will hold fast for us to the confession of our faith when we don't have the strength to.
Yeah. I think I've said this to Becky many times. We both recluse when things are hard. We both go into hiding. But you have to be the kind of friend, if you know your friend is like that, be the friend that's like, I'm going to annoy the crap out of you. I'm just going to keep texting. I might show up at your door.
Which honestly, though, it's that would be okay.
Yeah.
You know, even if your friend is like, I don't want to see anyone today. Even if they don't want to, they probably need to.
Right. Let me bring you a coffee and at least see your face and let you know that I'm still here and God's still here and you can keep going. I love this verse in Isaiah 35. It says, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong. Do not fear. Your God will come. Mm-hmm. He will come to save you. And I love that. The ones that are struggling, and life is a struggle. Sometimes life is a struggle and hard things happen to people and we go through seasons of sadness or just heaviness. I mean, we've had a lot of heaviness around us, like in our, you know, our close community and then also in the world abroad. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of heaviness. And I think there's a lot of strengthening of the hands that needs to happen. And women need to be those helpers that come alongside and say, let me lift you up. Like, mm-hmm. I know your arms are tired. Let me hold them for you.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But like, there's a battle being waged and we need to be, Jared preaches a sermon. We're going through Exodus right now. And he preached a sermon recently about being the arm holders. And when Moses held his arms up and his arms grew tired and they had to come alongside him and hold his arms up. And sometimes we have to be the arm holders for people that God is doing something and we can't always see the details of what's happening, but we have to trust the Lord and be there for each other. And there's seasons that we all need each other, whether we're the person that's in need or the people that we love are in need. We have to be ready.
I do have a book, but I will say I recommend it lightly because we've talked about this author before, and I know Jordan has talked about her before, and Jordan has seen her in person and did not support some of those things. But I will say you can take it with discretion, but there's a book called All That's Good that talks about like true discernment and encouragement, and it is Hannah Anderson's book. I have read the whole book, and I think the book itself, again, I don't know so much about her, but I think the book itself is a good book. It talks about a lot of what we're talking about now. And it talks about, I think, how to focus on the good to be a truly discerning person, but not just in a way that is negating the ugly either and the bad, like not in a way that is just, let's just be positive, you know, which is what I think we fall into in a worldly encouragement where, well, let's just be positive. Let's ignore the bad, or the bad is just so big, you know, and in this book, she talks about how true discernment is a focus on what is true, on what is good, what is beautiful. And I think Philippians 4:8 is a good one that says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And basically, you know, put your focus on those things. And when you're putting your focus on those things, when your mind is on those things, you're actually able to see what is evil more clearly, mm-hmm. because you know what is good. But if you're putting your focus on the evil all the time and searching the evil out in people or in things or in whatever it is, I feel like the lines almost sometimes start to get blurred because you become such a negative person rather than a truly hopeful person and a truly godly person, because you kind of become a Pharisee, you know, you become Pharisaical, where you're just, the Pharisees were right. They were right about practically everything, right? They knew their law. They kept the law. It wasn't that they were wrong in what they were saying. It was, they were wrong in how they were saying it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, you're whitewashed tombs, right? Like, basically, the inside of you is gross while the outside is ugly, and or the outside is clean, but the inside is ugly. So I think, you know, we can be right all day long, but we can come across in a way with people that's not encouraging, that's condescending and Pharisaical, and that comes from a heart of humility. And you can't fake that. You really can't. Like, pride comes before a fall. And eventually people find you out, eventually people see. And so I think that's a call for all of us. My prayer almost every single week in our quiet at church, we do a corporate confession of sin, and then we do an individual or private confession of sin. And so there's like a quiet time. There's a few moments where you just confess your sins. And of course I confess my sins all day long, but on Sunday, I'm made to think like, okay, I almost kind of think of like, what really stands out to me this week? I may have already asked for forgiveness about it, but what stands out to me this week? And almost every single week, my prayer is just that the Lord would forgive me of pride and continue to make me humble. And that can be a scary prayer because he will humble you. It's humiliating. But I don't want to ever be the person that I want to be a person that speaks truth, that encourages people, but I don't want to be the person that people just feel devalued by or just kind of tearing them down. And I think as women, we all need to guard against that because, you know, Proverbs even tells us there's a woman that tears her house down with her own words. And we can tear our house down. And if we're tearing our house down, it's going to eventually overflow to other people as well. And we're going to start tearing other people down. And a lot of women do this in the name of God as Christians, and it's not healthy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everyone and be super soft on them by any means. But again, if you're coming from a true place of love and humility, that's going to be seen. It's going to be heard. And I just don't, like, you can't fake that, you know? At the end of the day, we can give you all the tips and scriptures, but you can't fake your heart. So a lot of, you know, what we're talking about, I think, is getting your heart right so that you can help others. Like Becky said, when they're in a hard place, to get their heart right. Because when you're in that hard place, the darkness is really thick. It doesn't matter how deep and good of a Christian you are. You need people around you. God made you to be in community. He made you to not forsake the assembly and the gathering of people. Like she read, he made us to live in community and to uphold one another. And to not go at it alone. That's his design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and ultimately too, as both of you have been talking, the thought that's kind of run through my head is, if someone is trying to use negative words or a critical spirit to get people to do the right thing, it's going to do the opposite. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to spur people up to good works and all you're doing is finding the faults and how they're doing it, or, well, I wouldn't do it that way, or, you know, things like that, you're going to shut them down. And anything that is good is also going to go down with it. Like that proverb says, you're going to tear it down with your own hands, whether that be within your home of, you know, if you're homeschooling and yes, you have to point out like, hey, we need to, you know, turn the threes this way, you know, but there's a positive way to say that. And there's a negative way to say that. There's a way you can say that, or there's a way you can say everything in a way that's honoring and uplifting to the person. And there's a way where you can come at it from just a very critical, from a very critical place where it is going to tear them down and it's going to stop the good works altogether. And you can see that in your own home. You can see that in friendships. And ultimately, it's going to have the negative effect. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're in a hard place and you have somebody come along and just says, well, get over it. You know, well, I'm no longer going to you for help, you know. But if you have somebody come along to say, hey, one day at a time, God is still good. Everything's going to be okay because we're going to end up in heaven, you know, not it's going to be okay today, but comes alongside you with true encouragement, with a cheerful heart, with someone who's going to pray for you, who's going to see the good, who, you know, that kind of person. That's what's actually encouraging. So if you're trying to encourage with a critical spirit, and Jordan, I think you had mentioned, I don't know if it was with this episode or another, so I'm sorry if I'm bleeding over into another one, but you had mentioned being encouraging in motherhood too, where we're not, don't be critical of other mothers and see, well, I wouldn't use a silicone plate, or I wouldn't, I would choose to give my child this medicine versus this medicine.
Or my child would never do that.
You better never say that, because your child will all of a sudden start doing that.
Yes, you will eat those words.
Yeah.
You will.
Your kid will do something worse. Your kid will do something way worse, and you'll be like, whoa.
Oh, eating my own words. But in motherhood, it's difficult enough as it is. You know, we all have different people too. Like, my children are not Jordan's children. They might have similarities, but you know, and Brie and Kate, we all have different children and they're going to need different things. And God individually selected the mothers that they would have for a purpose, because we are training our children up to their good works that God has prepared for them, not the good works that God has prepared for another child. So the way that we train up and encourage and build up our own children is going to be different. And the decisions we make are going to be different because we are raising different humans. But don't look at another mom and say, oh, well, she does this. No, you just say, hey, you're a good mom. You're doing great. You're taking care of your kids. Keep encouraging them in their memory verse. Keep encouraging them here. You know, spur them on to the good works that you do see them doing. And I've left conversations of both. I've left conversations of a mom saying, well, kids only do what they see modeled. And I'm going, I don't think I've ever taken a baseball bat to somebody's face. I don't think I've ever done that, let alone like in front of my kids. So it's like, So I've left conversations like that feeling super beaten down. Mm-hmm. And then I've left conversations with friends who are like, hey, I have seen this change in this kid. I know that this was a struggle for you and you have a really awesome kid and you're doing a great job. And you feel spurred on, you know, you feel built up and encouraged to continue in the good works that God has for you. And so if you're coming at anything with a critical mind, you're going to end up having the opposite.
Yeah. Key word there, humans, like humans. These are humans, not robots. You don't just input and then get the output.
It's early, guys.
You don't just input and then get the output that you have ordered. It doesn't work like that. They are humans and they have their own sanctification journey that God is bringing them along on, just like we are. And so it's very important that you don't look at someone else's kid that did a naughty thing and say, oh, that's because that parent didn't do the right thing. They didn't give the right inputs this morning, because they are humans and they have their own volition and are born with their own sinful nature. Mm-hmm. And we need to be encouraging mothers. If they're doing a bad job, don't lie and say you're doing a good job.
Right.
But you can say, hey, I saw your kid, they're growing in this area and you were growing in this area. And have you tried this? And we're not advocating lying, but we are advocating spurring each other on to love and good works. That doesn't mean having a stinky eye at everybody whenever they do something that's wrong. It means helping them strengthening the hands, giving them good advice and love and care and modeling, if you can, model good mothering if you're around someone who's struggling or they're a new mom. A lot of times they're just new moms don't know. I didn't know. Yeah. I had to be taught, and you have to go through things. And yeah, and every kid is different, absolutely. And when you're going through a hard season, it's almost like whenever your kid gets sick and you can no longer remember any remedy you've ever used. You know, and you're like, wait a minute, someone tell me, what do we do? Or like, whenever something serious happens, you can't remember anymore what you're supposed to do when that happens. And you need someone to come alongside you and say, remember last time you told me you did this, or we tried this and it worked really good. You just have to have help sometimes, because when you're in the thick of it, your brain gets muddled, your spirit gets weary, and you need someone to come alongside you and say, hey, don't grow weary in doing good. Do it again tomorrow. Do it again tomorrow. Do it again later today. Do it again in 30 minutes. Don't grow weary in it. And expect that in due season, you'll reap a harvest.
Yeah. I like that you said to model it, because especially if we're talking about motherhood, which I know that's the bulk of our listeners, I'm sure, because I think being faithful is the best way in your own life, is the best way you can be an encouragement to other people. I remember when we were going to Christ Church, which would have been years ago, like 9+ years ago now. Jordan is a little bit ahead of me in motherhood, so Ransom's a little bit older than my oldest. And I don't remember if I was pregnant. If I wasn't pregnant, I probably was. I probably was pregnant, which Jordan and Jared walked us through our first miscarriage, which was sweet. And so, Becky, I know how encouraged she can be in that season. But I can't remember if I was pregnant, but if I wasn't, we were planning to have a kid, or we knew we would soon or whatever. But I remember going out to lunch with you, Jordan, and you had Ransom, and you were very open about Ransom's high and strong will and this big spirit. And of course, you couldn't hide it. Even at that age, you would have been really little. And I remember we were having lunch. I think it was just me and you, and you could tell he was being difficult for you. And it was just one of those moments where it's like, I don't have any kids yet. You're the one with the kid, and he's being difficult, not letting you get a word in or something, or like trying to get in the high chair. I don't remember the details, not being naughty, just being a kid and with a strong spirit. But I remember you taking him down on the ground, kneeling down, looking in his eyes, telling him what he needed to do, disciplining him, making sure you had eye contact, and making him say, okay, mama. And I kid you not, Jordan, that was like a moment where I was like, it clicked. Like, I need to watch moms. That moment with you, Jordan, sticks out to me, because I thought in my head, like, I didn't really have an example of this. Yes, I have older sisters, but my nieces and nephews were like my brothers and sisters, but also like distant, because they're so close to my age. My siblings are so much older than me, and I'm the baby, that like, I didn't watch my mom then discipline other kids. I was the last. And so in some ways, I very much had to learn that on my own. And I was talking to my mom about this not too long ago, because my mom had to do the same thing just because she didn't have good examples. And she said, I learned motherhood by watching other good mothers, other good Christian moms. And I told her, I said, I did the same. I said, not that you were a bad mother. I learned a lot from my mom. But just because I didn't see that 2-year-old interaction with my mom, you know, and still to this day with all of my kids, I get at their level, I look in their eyes, and I make them say, okay, mama. Even my 2-year-old, who is learning how to sit in church, well, she's not 2 yet, but she looks like she's 3. When she's not doing what she needs to do in church, I take her out, and sometimes I have to take her out 5 different times and say, Belle, we're not going to do this. Look at mommy, say, okay, mama. And even at 1.5, a little bit older, she'll say, okay, mama, like in her own little way, you know. And those kind of being faithful is the best thing you can do. Jordan was never like spicy to me and telling me, this is what you do. And, you know, throwing something out there that was, you know, I don't know. I just feel like that's the culture right now. The culture right now is, like you said, like we put all this stuff in, we put all these inputs in, and we get this output. Mm-hmm. And yes, I think I just told a friend this actually a couple weeks ago, who is struggling with motherhood, that there are biblical and timeless truths that we can stand by. The Bible is clear that you raise a child up in the way they should go, and they will not depart from it. That is a promise you can stand on. And I love Doug Wilson's book, Standing on the Promises, as far as parenting goes. And I agree with all of that wholeheartedly. But at the same time, I think I told her in the same breath, I'm leery to just throw a bunch of advice at a mom because every child is different. And what if she doesn't, what if that's overwhelming? What if she doesn't need all that? Maybe she just needs to hear there are biblical principles that we can stand on and stay strong in that. It may look like now you're not getting the fruit you want, but eventually you will. You know, pray for her, be her support, model it, and hope that she's watching. And then look to the other people and watch them that are ahead of you, because you will learn a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think it's so popular on social media and everywhere to be the person with the hot take. It's like, yeah, I've got the answer. I've actually analyzed this, and this is the conclusion that everyone should come to. I have the answer. And I think it's, there's going to be a select few people in the Christian world that God has chosen to speak out about things, and that most of the followers of Christ are going to be faithfully, quietly living out their lives in love and grace for one another. Mm-hmm. And that's what you should assume of your life, that you're not the person with a hot take. You don't need to be, you know, the person with everything interesting to say. Just faithfully love your family, love your kids, love the people around you, and encourage them, build them up. How can I make this person's life better? How can I help them love Jesus more? How can I take the weight off of somebody? How can I be an example to them? Just thinking about being a blessing to other people, not about like looking like the smartest guy in the room or the smartest girl on Instagram or the most insightful person about this scripture. It's like, that's not the point. Like, we want to bring glory to God in all that we're doing. So we want our lives to bring glory to God. We want the people's lives around us to bring glory to God. So let's do that by building each other up instead of tearing each other down. Like, I don't want to be the person that people's scared to be around because they think I'm stink eyeing them and stink eyeing the way they're interacting with their husband or their kids or what the food they brought to the potluck. Like, I don't want to be that person. You don't want to be that person. We don't want to be so critical that people can't feel comfortable around us. That's awful. So make it a point to encourage people, love people, push their courage up. Like you said at the beginning, like, give them more courage, push their courage up. Did you like that?
I liked it.
I'm going to be a courage pusher upper.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Courage pusher upper. 01.
I can see a little woman now with like pushing it up.
Yes.
That weight.
Courage.
But you said take the weight off of someone. And that is key, because if you are encouraging someone, you should be taking weight off of them, not putting weight on them. Mm-hmm. And yes, in our current culture, so many times our quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes right now for those who are listening, we don't record our faces, or is it too early for that? But I'm doing air quotes. Now I even forgot my train of thought. Don't encourage them in a way that adds weight on them.
Right.
Because, man, we can do that. And it is a balance. It is hard because sometimes I think we can be scared to give advice when we should have given advice. Mm-hmm. And that takes some courage sometimes, you know. But, we don't just throw things at people and give them more weights to carry. That's not fun. It's not cool.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's in Ephesians, right? Ephesians 4 talks about bearing one another's burdens in love. Am I right there? Is it Ephesians 4?
I don't know if it's Ephesians 4, but it sounds like Ephesians, yeah.
Okay. But thinking about that with encouragement, we're going to help bear each other up and push their courage up and
push it bear with
them
up.
In love, mm-hmm. not bearing with them in a critical, harsh, condoning spirit, but in a way that is loving and is kind. And Jordan, as you were talking, I was reminded of something I've heard our friend Brandy say a lot. And if Brandy's listening, she's probably gonna be like, that's not how I word it. Well, maybe she won't, because she doesn't have.
She is not critical. She pushes courage up all the time.
But I've heard her say to her girls and just in general, you know, if you are the one, now I've lost it. Jordan, do you know what I'm trying to say? Read my early morning thoughts.
I don't know.
But she has said, you are not the smartest person in the room, and you need to assume that, basically assume that you are not the smartest person in the room. because you have something to learn from everybody. Mm-hmm. Even if you are the smartest person in the room. I've heard her say that before too. There are still things you can learn from everybody. And if you assume
the heart.
Yeah, if you assume, oh, I know everything, I'm the end all be all, I know the best way for this, that, or the other, that's not encouraging. It's critical, and it's feels weighty. It's not bearing somebody up in love, encouraging and spurring them on. It's crushing them. And we can either bear each other's burdens, or we can crush them with the weight of their own burden by adding more to it.
Yeah.
And we are not called to be those kinds of women.
And I think that we should take seriously the scripture that says, get the log out of your own eye before you go pointing out the speck in someone else's. So don't think that you have nothing in your life that someone couldn't be critical of. So be humble and a learner and someone who is quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry about things, but that you're living in a way that it's like the older you get, you hope that you're growing in Christ-likeness, but you just keep knowing more and more sins that you're dealing with. Yeah. It's like, gosh, this is not how I thought it was going to be. But it's like just knowing, having an acute awareness of your sinfulness whenever you're amongst your brothers and sisters in Christ, so that you're not quick to point out their flaws.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. The kids were listening to Little Pilgrim's Progress recently. And in my own life, it's kind of felt like one trial after another the last couple of years. And then as I was listening to it with them, I was like, wait, that's actually what this life is.
Yeah.
This life is actually one trial after another. When you get through the slough of despond, or I think I'm saying that wrong, but once you get through one piece and you're like, okay, I'm on the narrow road, I'm doing good, you're going to run into something else. And Jack was listening to it, and it was, I forget which part it was, but they had gotten into another mess basically. And he's like, oh, is this guy going to learn? And I'm like, honey, it was sweet because it would tell them like, this is what this stands for. I think it was Little Pilgrim's Progress. Cause at the end of each chapter, it would say, this part stands for this in our lives and this. So we had good discussions with it. But I was like, buddy, that actually is kind of what life is. You think you have one sin taken care of, one trial done, and then God gives you something else. But they're all to make you more and more like him, to make you lean on him more, to make you depend on him more, to keep you humble. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of dawned on me, oh, hey, it is actually going to be one sanctifying thing after another. And we're going to face one battle after another. And you want to be the friend like Faithful, who is encouraging the friend next to you. Hey, be faithful. Hey, keep going. Hey, keep doing what you're supposed to do. Love the Lord. Stay on the narrow path. You want to be that kind of friend. You don't want to be like worldly and the other friends who are like, oh, why don't you come over here? Or just add some legality onto this,
right,
and see if that works out for you. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be the friend who's crushing. You want to be the friend that's building up.
Yeah, that's really good. We're memorizing James for school this year, and I can't tell you the amount of times that it's encouraged me so much. But trials, let them have their full effect. It's producing something. It's you're gaining steadfastness. Let it have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, it's not for no reason. God's just not being mean. This isn't like a harsh master that's giving you whippings or something. This is God is doing something bigger than what you realize that is happening in this. Like, God is producing something in you that is more valuable than what you realize. It's one trial after another. Mm-hmm. But trusting that God's doing something bigger than you know.
And we need those friends. And this is where choosing your friends wisely
right.
comes into play too. Of choose friends who are going to be the ones that will spur you on, that will lovingly say the hard things, but in an uplifting way, not a condoning way. But choose your friends wisely, and then encourage them as they encourage you, mm-hmm. and just spur each other on. Hold each other's hand as you run towards heaven.
As you run
through all the trials, just mm-hmm. be there with each other, holding fast to that confession of hope for each other.
Yeah,
and reminding them of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anything else from you, Brie?
No, I think it was all wonderful, though. Good podcast. I might listen to this one again.
Yeah.
I just want to say I've actually almost finished a coffee and the sun's not even up. So that never happens before 11.
Guys, this is the benefit of, I bet you made that coffee and it was in your fridge, wasn't it?
Yes, ma'am, it was. Pumpkin spice.
Benefit of thinking ahead, everyone. Becky had her coffee ready.
I'm ready to go. I'm going to get stuff done. The kids are still sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to end out this podcast with some encouragement from the word to hopefully edify us today as we go out and encourage the people around us. Okay, so life and death is in the power of the tongue. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set afire by a small spark. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And then, like I said earlier, the James verse, let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So may you be an encouragement to others, boosting the courage, boost it. I wish everyone could see me. I'm raising the roof. Boost it up. Boost that courage up to everyone around you. May God receive the most glory and the people around you have the most joy because of all the blessings that you give them today. Thanks for listening.